We sang earlier, Mary, did you know? And I was thinking about that this week and wondering, I wonder what she really did know. And I was also thinking about the fact that when moms get together, at least I know it's true with my wife, who is a mom, and was a mom for the third time this day, 39 years ago. And whenever she and my sister-in-law would get together, and as we were talking today with our oldest nephew, it reminded me that every time my wife and my sister-in-law would get together and compare stories about the birth of their first three sons, it went on and on and on, comparing notes, and it seemed like the labor and the intensity got worse and longer every time they got together and talked about it. And that's all I'm going to say. Every mother remembers the details of their pregnancies, each visit to the doctor, the finding out of the gender, what she was doing when she went into labor, and the statistics of birth weight, length, and presence or absence of hair, etc. And Jesus' mother, Mary, was no exception. But she had much more to remember than many puzzling, even troubling things to contemplate as she pondered and thought about the birth of her son, Jesus. And we heard today or tonight from the Gospel of Luke, who points out that that was very much the fact, what Mary was doing as she was pondering and thinking about, what does this little boy, this little baby mean to our lives? And so I'd like you to invite you to just kind of meander with me for a little bit through the Christmas story once again as we discover that there's much more to know and much to be revealed as we open our hearts. And I apologize with this disclaimer right off the bat. I'm sorry to throw a little bit of Greek at you on Christmas Eve, but it's important because it's a critical part of the Christmas story. Because there's this little word in the middle of the Christmas story, the word rhema, in comparison to the word logos. Both words mean word or word of God. But rhema is the word that's used by Luke over 9 times in this Christmas story. It's a special word because as logos, Jesus comes and he inhabits this neighborhood of ours, he is the word of God. But he also comes with a special deposit of the Spirit of God. And so Mary knew something. As we meander through this story, we begin to see what she knew. Because we heard already in chapter 2, verse 19 of Luke, that Mary treasured up all of these things, and the word for things is the word rhema. She treasured up more than just this little baby, but she began to get this revelation of so many different things that this little baby meant. And she pondered them, and she treasured these words, these things, in her heart. And if I could encourage all of us tonight, as we once again ponder and think about the things that Jesus represents to us, or should represent to us, that we are careful to do what Mary did and carefully steward these words, these things, and guard them and treasure them in our heart. It's interesting because later, when Jesus was in the temple, it says in chapter 2, verse 51, that he went down with them and he came to Nazareth and he was submissive to them. Later as a 12-year-old boy, and again, the mother Mary, his mother, treasured up all of these things in her heart. All this rhema, this revelation of God that was so special to her. And the things, those incidental things that seem like maybe they're not really that important, they were way more important than we realize. And they span about 15 months, and almost everything referred to, especially in regards to things, has to do with angelic visitations. And I think it's so appropriate that just a few minutes ago, we finished singing, Here Comes Heaven. Because rhema means, here comes heaven. The word rhema can be translated word, but it's so much more than that. It's frequently a word that indicates a statement with special significance, often a prophecy. It sometimes even refers to a special event, but the reality, it's a deposit of a seed of heaven into the earth, and it has the potential to bring life, even where it appears that there is no life. And it's very possible. In fact, I would say it's very probable that all of us need a rhema of God tonight. All of us need some of those things to pour out. All of us need to hear, here comes heaven. And some of us need it even more than others. And after Jesus' boyhood visit to Jerusalem, Luke says Jesus went down to them and he came to Nazareth. He continued in subjection to them, and his mother treasured these things in her heart. Now I want you to watch with me how this word weaves its way through the coming of Jesus to the earth. I want to refer back earlier in the Christmas story to Luke chapter 1, verses 35 to 38. When the angel answers Mary and says, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing, not any word or rhema, will be impossible with God." There's something about rhema that breaks through every wall, that breaks through every circumstance that says, you can't go there. But when God comes with his rhema, he says, that may look impossible to you, but it's not impossible to me. And fear came upon, and then it says, "Behold, a servant of the Lord." And Mary said, "Behold, I'm the servant of the Lord, and let it be according to your word, rhema." And the angel departed from her. And then later, Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist, after John was born, people came to John and they made signs to his father inquiring what he wanted him to be called. And he asked him for a writing tablet and wrote, "His name is John." And they all wondered, and immediately his mouth was open and his tongue loosed and he spoke, blessing God. And fear came upon all of his neighbors. And all these things, rhema, were talked about through all the hill country of Judea. You know what would be really good this Christmas season? As you go home tonight and celebrate the rest of Christmas Eve with your families, and you celebrate Christmas Day with your families, it would be good for you to talk about some of these things. To talk about this rhema, the revelation of God through Jesus Christ in your life as an encouragement to one another. And to the shepherds in Luke chapter 2, verses 15 and 17, again with the angels, when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go over to Bethlehem and see this rhema, this thing that's happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying, the rhema that had been told to them concerning this child. And then after Jesus was born, remember he went to visit. His parents took him to visit the temple. And there were these two persons there, Zacharias and Simeon and Anna. And Zacharias in the temple says, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, according to your rhema." And we need the rhema of God to really give us the peace of God that we need in our lives. And as I shared with Jesus and his parents, at the age of 12, even Jesus and his parents said they didn't understand the saying, the rhema, that he spoke to them. And I would say to you and I that oftentimes we get these words from God and we say, what in the world does that mean? I would say to you and most of you that are part of the Trinity Christian Chapel family, when I got the word, when Kathy and I got the word, it was clear that we were supposed to come and be the pastors of Trinity, I would say that's a rhema word. Because it's a word that came as a revelation that wasn't expected. It wasn't planned for. It wasn't supposed to work out that way. But that's what a rhema word does. It's unexpected. It's a word that transcends anything that is in your wildest imagination. And then we kind of lucked out. That's probably not the right way to say it. We were blessed with another rhema word when my wife gets to see the dream house of her dreams and we move into this log cabin house. It's easy to get a rhema word in a log cabin house, everyone. We've been getting them all week long. But all of us can find this rhema word. Any mother would spend considerable time wondering at the significance of all these statements and events. But what impact did they have on Mary? I think Mary lived with expectancy through Jesus' life. She was alert to the unusual developments as he matured. She was attuned to his intimate father-son relationship with God the Father. She was ready for the sword of pain and ready to believe that he was very unique. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 warns us, above all else, consider your heart, for everything you do flows from it. What did Mary know? I think we get an idea of what she knew when we take a look at what she prayed. Look at Luke chapter 1, verses 46 to 55. Mary's prayer. And Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he's looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed, for he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He's helped his servant Israel, and in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his offspring forever. Here are some things that I think we find that Mary knew and treasured in her heart from her prayer. First of all, she knew that she needed to increase her vision of God. May we all have that rhema this Christmas season, an increased vision of who God is. In addition to that, she knew that her source of joy needed to come from Jehovah. When you get a rhema from God, you can't help but be joyful. She also knew that God defeats the proud and he exalts the humble. And we know that all around us there are people filled with pride, and maybe there's even pride in our own heart. But may I encourage you that when we receive the rhema of God, we can't do anything but bow before him and come to our knees and say, God, I need to hear from you. She knew that his mercy would increase in proportion to her reverence of him. And that's why we worship tonight. That's why we didn't just come together and say Merry Christmas to each other, as important as that is. We need to be in his presence, because the proportion of our time with him will increase the amount of rhema, his word that he pours out on our life. And two more things. She knew that he is a good God, and all things that come from him are good and always work together for good. And finally, she knew that his mercy transcends the generations. I've shared with you before that one of the things I lived for was when I went to my grandparents' house, I would go to listen to them in the living room on their knees praying for all of their grandchildren, and I would wait to hear my name. That was the rhema of God that transcended the generations. That's what faith and salvation are all about. And as she treasured these things in her heart on this Christmas Eve, could I encourage all of us to learn more about treasuring these things with her. It's interesting, this word rhema comes up in another place in Romans chapter 10, verse 17. It's a verse that we commonly use when we're talking to somebody about believing in Jesus Christ. And it says this, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word, the rhema of Christ. It's one thing to read the Bible. It's another thing to have the Holy Spirit say, this is for you. And so when God visits us with a word or a divinely orchestrated circumstance, we should take note. It's a sign that he's real and that he's engaged in our lives. It's a sign that we need to live differently because of his visitations on our life. And I tell you, he's visiting us more than we realize. And we remember them and we ponder what he's preparing to do in and through us. I think that's what the psalmist had in mind when he said, for your steadfast love is great to the heavens, your faithfulness to the clouds. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens, and let your glory be over all the earth. As the worship team prepares to come and lead us together in silent night, and as we light our candles, let me just say this to us. As you bow your heads, God of place and time, you chose the little town of Bethlehem to be the birthplace of David and of David's greater son. Make us aware of your active purpose in our towns, in our neighborhoods, so that we might see them as the places of the promise of your word and your rhema in our time. Father, we thank you for the word of God, Jesus Christ. And we pray that he would be more than just words on a page. We pray that tonight, and as we enter into the quote-unquote 12 days of Christmas tomorrow, that, Lord, we would experience the revelation of your word, the rhema word of God in each of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.